3,000 from the week before. Meghan Markle is back in Britain for the first time since she and Prince Harry announced their split from the royal family. The Duchess of Sussex planning to join Harry in London for a celebration of the sporting achievements of wounded service members. This is a good time to ask you to check out our newly designed website. We're at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Are you ready? A Pure Component linking spirit and science is a show about wellness and mystery. I'm your guest, Toya Val Spirit, and our guests are experts and practitioners that share their knowledge with you on complementary modalities that empower you. We also talk about the mysteries of life that answers the big questions that leads to a good life. You will learn to manifest good health and have self-empowerment. Are you a like-minded person who is interested in more than just going through the motions? Then join us every Thursday morning at 10 a.m. You'll be happy you did. You're listening to A Pure Component, linking spirit and science. Hi everyone, I'm your host, Tori Val Spirit, and today we're going to have a wonderful show. Today's show is about what happens when we die. I had a few people ask me about this topic, and so I decided to feature it on our show today. Actually, we tried to feature it last week, but we had a few glitches. For some reason, the recording did not go through, and a lot of people called and said, hey, I was waiting for this show, but we couldn't hear you. So we're going to go over it again today, and I hope you all enjoy it. What happens when we die is an age-old question that is asked by children and adults alike. Anyone and everyone who has dealt with children has gotten this question at some point in that child's life. It's an interesting topic, and we're going to be speaking about it today. Also, when we return, we have a wonderful giveaway that we had done last week, but we're going to repeat it today because it wasn't on air. Karen Adamo, a practitioner of the Eden Method, is giving away a session. It's a $95 value, and later I'll be telling you more about it. When we return, we'll be doing Tori's story. Stay tuned. Now for the weather.
Today is 43 degrees. It's chilly, but actually nice and sunny. It's saying that it's fair out, and the humidity is 42%. But get out and do some exercise, walk around a little bit, and enjoy the day because it is shaping up to be a beautiful day.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Murphy, host of Talented People Radio, produced by Mariah Media. Our show is fun, and we specialize on interviewing some of the most awesome people from around the world. Tune in and watch our live stream on Facebook, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can watch the past episodes. Talented People airs every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Join us for some fun.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 in Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100-chamber.org.
We're back, and you're listening to A Pure Component, linking spirit and science. Today's show is about what happens when we die. I'm your host, Tori Val Spirit, and now for Tori's story. Today's show is about what happens when we die. It seems to be a very common question. People always want to know what happens when we die. This question comes up a lot when we have loved ones or friends who pass away, and then we begin to wonder, where do they go? What happens when we die? I have some experience with this. 7 years ago, my mother-in-law was diagnosed with cancer. She was very healthy and strong, but suddenly she had cancer. And she was diagnosed with stage 4 right from the get-go. We then took my mother-in-law in to live with us. And while she was with us, we noticed that she would tell us that she would see people in her family who passed away already. Her sisters, her mother, her father. My mother-in-law was a devoted Catholic, And she really believed that what would happen when she died would be that she would go up to heaven and be with God. And that's what would happen to everyone. She stayed with us for a few weeks, and then she moved to Florida to be with her daughter, my sister-in-law. And while she was there, she saw her father, her mother, her sisters, and was able to talk to them. She was even able to say, "Hey, look, don't you see them? They're right there," as one by one, or a few came at the same time. As this was happening to her, it was so vivid, and it was as if she was looking at the people right at the moment that it was happening. She certainly was a strong-willed person who believed in God and believed in afterlife being something where she would go to God, be with God for eternity. I believe that she knew that she was actually seeing her family members. 3 years ago, my mother was also diagnosed with cancer. My mother was an older mom. She was 86 years old. She was a very independent person and lived by herself and enjoyed her life with friends. And she was also a devoted Catholic. She enjoyed her church community, and she had all of her activities near her home. We had asked her to come live with us several times, 10 years before, 5 years before, even 3 years before. And she said, "Absolutely not. I have every single thing I need near my home. And if I move with you, I would be trapped." But due to her illness, we decided to make her move in with us. And when I say make her, it's because I asked her again to move in when she was diagnosed with cancer. And once the doctor told us that she had to be on hospice instead of going into a hospital, we wanted her to be with us and with family members. And so we moved her into my house, and I ended up spending her last days with her. While my mom was at my house, the same type of experiences started to happen to her. She saw angels, she saw people, and she kept seeing people, and she would tell me, "Don't you see him? He's right there. Don't you see her? She's right there." Sister decided to come and stay with me so that she can help take care of my mother and also, obviously, to be with her mom for her last days. After about 2 or 3 weeks, one day we were sitting in the living room, and my sister was on the phone with her husband, and we were watching television, and my mom asked me, "Do you see them? They're right there. They're here to take me. I don't want to go." Then she whispered in my ear, "You have to tell Michelle to go home. She needs to go home now." That was really strange to me because my sister and my mom were so close. And I asked her, "Why? Why do you want Michelle to go home?" I thought that was so strange. And she said, "Because I don't want Michelle to be here when I go. And I'm going to be going home in a few days. And when I go, I don't want her to be here because she's going to be alone. You have your husband, but she won't have anyone. So she needs to leave now. She needs to go back home." Since my mom was on hospice care, there was a nurse practitioner that came in on a daily basis to take care of her, as well as a registered nurse who came in twice a week. That afternoon, when the nurse practitioner came in, I spoke with her and told her about the experiences that my mom was telling me about. And she said to me, "Oh yes, I believe it. It happens to 8 out of 10 of my patients. 8 out of 10 of my patients have that same experience, and they usually have it just before they're ready to go." "Ready to go?" I asked. "Yes, ready to pass away. It seems that it happens to almost everyone. And I really believe, off the record," she said, "that they are truly seeing their family members and their friends and people that they loved." I did speak to my sister, and she too believed that my mom was actually seeing people. And she granted my mom's wish, and she purchased a flight to go back home within the next 3 days or so. My mother passed away the middle of the night that my sister left, and in the morning I found her. The feeling that there was something more after that made it a little bit easier, although 3 years has passed, and I still miss her dearly. So what happens when we die? Knowing that we can see each other again is a feeling that is unexplainable. There are no words that could explain that, except for joy. Well, there you have it, some of my experiences with what happens when we die. Those experiences brought me comfort. They also brought me joy and a form of happiness. There's a new show out there. It's called Emergence. I'm not 100% sure how I feel about the show yet. I've been watching it, and I watched most of the episodes from the beginning. In the beginning, it starts off with a police chief who is a woman who finds a little girl. She finds this 10-year-old girl among this destruction that happened because of a plane crash, but the little girl was not harmed at all. She was actually in perfect condition. The show was a bit ambiguous on purpose. They didn't really want you to know what was going on. So some may have thought she was an alien. But then as the show progressed, we found out that she was artificial intelligence. On the last episode, the little girl asked the police chief, who is her mother figure, what happens when she died. But there was no answer. And so she didn't receive an answer, but neither did the audience. But the truth is, many children ask this question, and adults also ask this question. It's an age-old question. So the question is, what happens when we die? Do we go someplace when we die, or do we just dissipate into the air? That is our soul, of course. Does our soul dissipate into the air while our body just rots in the earth? So as I think about what happened with my mother-in-law and then with my mother and some other things that happened in my life, as well as just speaking to the nurse and the nurse saying that this is something that has happened to 8 out of 10 of the people that she's taken care of in her career as a hospice nurse, it just resonates and rings true that people do have something or someplace that they go to after this life on this plane, in this world. Living on this earth and having a spiritual background myself, I do believe that there is life after death. After all, when we think about it, we are energy, and that's what we are. Humans are energy. So what is the definition for energy? It is the capacity for vigorous activity. It is available power, the ability to act and to affect. Listening to these definitions, we find that they're not even very clear. It's the ability of movement and the ability to act. Energy itself has 7 properties. Here are some of them. 1, it exists and is throughout all living and non-living items. It could be trained and operated through the mind. 2, it could be made and observed through all other forms of energy, such as light and electromagnetic transmissions. 3, it could be polarized. 4, it emanates from all parts of the human body. It could be carried on any conductor of energy, such as wire. 6, it could be stored and concentrated in all matters and then released at will. 7, energy cannot die. Well, I said I was going to tell you some of them, but I just told you all 7. The one that I want to speak about today is number 7, energy cannot die. Energy cannot die. What does that mean? Well, energy moves around. It can go from one place to the other. It can lay dormant, but it never dies. It is always in existence, just like our spirit. When we talk about us as human beings, we think about ourselves as dense form because we are human, but we also are spirit. As a matter of fact, we are spirit first and foremost, and our spirit is energy. We'll continue when we return after these messages. And remember to stay tuned because we're also going to talk about our giveaway and how you too can be placed in the drawing for our next giveaway. We'll be back after these messages.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Welcome back to A Pure Component Linking Spirit and Science. I'm your host, Tori Val Spirit, and we're talking about what happens when you die. When we break for commercial, we were talking about the seven properties of energy. And the reason that we started talking about energy is because energy is what we are as human beings. Yes, we are energy. The seventh property of energy is that energy never dies. It can move around from place to place and it could lay dormant, but it never dies. Think about the energy in your home, such as a light source. Just because you turn off the light, that doesn't mean that the energy died. It's just waiting for us to use it. It moves around from place to place, from room to room, from light fixture to light fixture, from appliance to electronic, etc. It could be used in all different types of ways. And it's the same thing in the human body. Energy never dies, but it can be used in all different types of ways. We can use our energy to help us heal ourselves, to help us to get better at doing something, to help us to create a satisfying life. Well, what does science say about the after death and what happens when we die? For many years, starting even in the 50s, a lot of universities did studies to find out, is there life after death? And that's including the elite universities. These studies included professors, their colleagues, and also included scientists. Truth be told, these studies were not usually conducted with the permission of the universities because they needed everything to be scientifically based. But the only way that it could be scientifically based is by doing the studies. Today, universities are out there doing research on what happens when we die. There are even universities who have completed research on what happens when we die. And they say that there is a component of energy within the human body. In these studies, they're looking for if death is the end or if we continue. Researchers at the University of Southampton conducted a study to see what happens in the mind after we die. And these scientists believe that they are closer than ever before to answer this question. They use near-death experiences in order to conduct their study. There are also other universities who did the same by studying the brain. So they looked at the brain to see what was happening to that person's brain after they reported having a near-death experience, whether they called it that or not. They started by examining the cognitive processes of the brain. Of the people who reported these experiences, they found that nearly 40% of these people were able to recall things that happened while they were clinically dead. Although people have near-death experiences in many different ways, they did these studies on people who were in the hospital. That ensured that there were many people who can attest to what these people were saying. So these people were clinically dead, meaning that they were dead on the monitors. And the physicians tried to resuscitate them, and then they did. And these people came back. They were able to recall things that they could not possibly know if they did not have a near-death experience. They found that although these people's hearts were not beating, they did have a state of content. They had a feeling of floating above themselves and being able to see what's going on below them. The people felt a happiness that was so overwhelming and almost something that they could not even explain by the standards of the emotions that we have here on Earth.
They also felt that they were somewhere else, but at the same time, they felt that they were everywhere. They also recognized that there was no time. And these similarities were similar for 40% of the people. These people also had flashes of memory in their life, as well as seeing people who had passed before them and even speaking with them. These people had some type of a light that they've seen. Most people recalled going through a tunnel, but not everyone. What was the same was that light. These people also still had their emotional feelings and their memories. They also had fear and other human emotions, good and bad. Many of them had memories with animals and vegetation. It is said that when you die, your life flashes before your eyes. They also had that sensation and visions of family, as well as places that they have been. Most people felt very positive and light, but it wasn't all good. There were few people who reported having feelings of negative or feeling as if they're going to hell, and things such as violence and sorrow. And then they believed that it had something to do with how they lived while they were on this plane. But what the medical field found to be really important was that these people were reciting things that they heard and things that were said by doctors and things that they saw, people who walked in while they were clinically dead. The people who did the studies felt that more people had these experiences. They just didn't recall them. They felt that a lot of people just had blur memory, as well as blurred experiences, such as seeing someone they knew who had passed before them. But it was blurred, and they couldn't recall it. But that didn't mean it didn't happen. Just like a lucid dream. You know, everyone dreams, but not everyone remembers their dreams. As a matter of fact, people have 3 to 5 dreams per night. And yet, so many people say, I don't dream. And the truth is, everyone dreams. And there's an experience that I've had before because I am a lucid dreamer. I tend to remember at least one dream per night, sometimes multiple. And sometimes I wake up and I remember a dream only to forget it by the time that I've brushed my teeth, which is really odd. But maybe we're not supposed to remember our dreams, or maybe we're not supposed to remember if we do go to the other side, because we were meant to be here and to be veiled from the other side so that we can experience the human existence. And even though many people recall it as a dream or say that it felt as a dream would feel, they were not dreaming because they recalled actual facts of things that happened. These studies were also not just done in America, but throughout the world in different countries, different cultures, different people of all types and classes. And the things that were similar were similar. They were the same for all the people in the study, regardless of where they were from. And this happens every single place on earth. People have these experiences. It is really difficult to say that someone is making this up when the similarities are overwhelming. Anyway, think of it this way. How could someone from a whole other country with a whole other culture and a whole other language have the same experiences and be making it up? Over 8 million Americans have reported having near-death experiences. And it seems like almost every single person saw a light. Whether they went through a tunnel or not, some of those people will have variations. Some people see beautiful lights and beautiful scenery, and then they see the light at the other end. And some people see a light and just the light. But what it's the same is that most of them have reported seeing this light. Something else that is really interesting is that there are people who have the feeling of going to hell, to a negative place, but fewer people report that. And I guess it's because they don't want to tell people that they were so bad when they were here because of the dogma that they believe in, and they don't want people to believe that they're going to hell or that they were such a horrible person. And sometimes they just don't want to even believe it for themselves and say it out loud. In the studies, they say that people just don't want to share that information with people, information that they think that they will be going to hell. So fewer people make those reports, but it does happen to as many people as people who have the positive experiences. I have traveled and studied many mysteries for years and years, and I have insight into what happened. What I have learned about it is that it's not really that you go to hell or heaven, but that's a perception that happens based on the dogma and the conditioning that you had when you were on this plane. So it really has a lot to do with that person's belief system. And the reason that people have a negative experience is because there are different points in our body. As we said before when we were talking about the properties of energy, energy emanates from the human body in all different places, usually from the palms of your hands or the soles of your feet, but it emanates in other points of your body as well. And when we pass, we're supposed to pass through our crown or our solar plexus. And if we pass through any other place, it is so harsh that you have that negative experience instead of a positive experience. That negative experience will be based on the dogma that you had when you were here on this plane. And so people think they went to hell, but the truth is their energy source just came out of their body in such a harsh fashion that they had a negative experience. And then they, in turn, related it to going to hell. And when I say energy source, I'm speaking about what people commonly call their soul or spirit. We're going to break for commercial again, and when we come back, we're going to talk about other things that the medical field says that could really be happening instead of a near-death experience. We'll also be talking about our giveaway. Stay tuned, and we're going to be talking about our giveaway, and there'll be more on what happens after we die.
Want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heide and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
Are you ready? A Pure Component, Linking Spirit and Science, is a show about wellness and mystery. I'm your guest, Toy Val Spirit, and our guests are experts and practitioners that share their knowledge with you on complementary modalities that empower you. We also talk about the mysteries of life that answers the big questions that leads to a good life. Are you a life-minded person who is interested in more than just going through the motions? Then join us every Thursday morning at 10 a.m. You'll be happy you did.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addiction, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarolecounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
Good morning and welcome back to A Pure Component, Linking Spirit and Science. We will be doing our giveaway soon, so stay tuned. Today's show is What Happens When We Die? This is an age-old question that has been asked for centuries. or since the beginning of time. We talked a little bit about energy and the seven properties of energy and how it works and how it relates to our human energy, which is our spirit. What is our spirit? Our spirit is the part of us that always was, always will be, and is now. It's the part of us that will never die. It is the energy part of us. And what are scientists saying about near-death experiences and what happens to us when we die? Scientists feel that they are closer than ever before in discovering what happens to us when we die. They study the brain of people who have reported near-death experiences, people who reported this in a hospital setting. And they found that there were many similarities between all these people, similarities that proved that it is impossible that these people could be lying. They also found that people around the world had the same sensations, the same feelings, and the same experiences. So they cannot believe that these people are lying because it was all over the world. They believe that these people could not be lying because these people were people from different parts of the world, different cultures, different languages, and also different belief systems. And with all of these differences, people recited having the same experiences, the same things happen to them when they were clinically dead. Yes, clinically dead, meaning they had no heartbeat and they had to be resuscitated. Researchers found that 40% of the people who were resuscitated in hospitals had these experiences. They also believed that more people had these experiences, except they had blurred memories or experiences, and so they did not report them. As well as people who had negative experiences, they found that people with negative experiences tend not to report this. The near-death experience is when you feel a part of your body float out of your body, which is your spirit, and you can see what is going on below you, as well as you can see your physical body. The majority of these people had a feeling of peace, and they were not in pain, even though they were being operated on. Even the people that were in accidents that reported this felt that they were in a place of serenity. People saw a white light. Some people saw a tunnel. Some people saw bright colors or just different types of lights and colors or visions of beauty. But the majority was greeted by people that they knew who had passed on before them. People have both negative and positive experiences, but it's not because they were good or bad on earth. It's because of where their spirit came out of their body or their energy field. When your energy field comes out of your body in the wrong place, it causes a harsh reaction that is perceived to be negative. There is a movie from the late 90s, and it's called What Dreams May Come, starring Robert Williams. If you ever have seen this movie, it's a great description of what a lot of people around the world have described as having a near-death experience if they went past that bright light that they were moving rapidly towards. If you haven't seen it before, and if you have seen it, I would say to watch it again in the perspective of what we're talking about today. I think you would see it in a different light. But just to tell you a little bit about it, it's about a man who passes away, and once he passes away, he goes to whatever dimension he's supposed to be in. In the meanwhile, his wife became quite depressed, and then she ended up killing herself. So she went to a part of the universe where he was not, and he goes to find her. I don't want it to be a spoiler, so I'm not going to tell you much more. But what I can tell you is that he had to use his mind in order to create the things that he needed and the things that he wanted. And that's how he ended up doing what he needed to do to have a satisfying afterlife. Earlier, I had stated that our spirit is the energy part of ourselves. A good way to think about this is that we have a mind, and our mind is energy, and our mind is universal. Our mind belongs to the energy part of ourselves. How do we know this? Well, if I cut your head open, I can slice your brain up into millions of pieces if I wanted to, or just slice it in half. But as far as your mind, I will not be able to touch that. Your mind is energy. In that movie, Robert Williams' character could basically think it and it could happen, just as we can do it on this level, on this plane. It's a little harder because we have been conditioned to think differently. I'm not saying that you don't have to put action into the things that you want and need. Of course, if you just sit there and think about everything, you won't have anything at all. But our mind creates what we think about most. People who have had near-death experiences have had some of the experiences or glimpses of the experiences that was presented in the movie. They also learn how powerful that we are as human beings, because we are energy. And when I say you will create whatever you're thinking about, it doesn't matter if it's negative or positive. It's what you're thinking about. That's what you will create. Researchers continue to study near-death experiences so that they can figure out the biological and neurological sensations and reasons behind it. They want to know what is behind these events. There are some scientists that say that there is no near-death experience, but instead it's just another form of lucid dreaming. But people who had lucid dreaming knows what it feels like. It feels like it's really happening now. But the difference is that they're not recalling what just happened a few minutes ago while they were clinically dead. The State University of New York led a study on over 100 people and found that 40% of these people could recall people who walked in, what doctors said. If someone walked in and left who was not even in the room before they were clinically dead, it's really not the same thing as lucid dreaming. Although people have had lucid dreams and then something would happen in the future, almost like a premonition of sorts. And as I said before, everyone dreams, but not everyone remembers their dreams. There are also scientists and medical physicians who link these experiences to oxygen deprivation. Oxygen deprivation is a lack of oxygen to the brain. But again, when we think about the memories that the people had and the things that they can recall, it's very difficult to say that it was oxygen deprivation, that they had a lack of oxygen in their brain. How then did they recall facts of things that happened while they were clinically dead? Less than 8% of the people in the whole world believe that there is not an afterlife. About 43% of the people say they're not sure, but there could possibly be one. And 51% of the people say that they definitely believe in an afterlife. Could it be that the majority of people believe because they've had experiences themselves? Possibly other experiences? Not even near-death experiences, but other experiences? And when we go back to the part of ourselves that is our spirit, which is our energy part, the part of ourselves that is energy, and the seven property of energy, which is that energy never dies, don't we tend to wonder how does it all fit? And how about our mind? Where does that reside? And how does that take into effect in the belief that there is no afterlife or that we do not continue? If we have a mind, doesn't it make sense that we have a soul and a spirit? So what is the mind? The mind is a form of energy. That's a form of energy that lives on, just as our soul and spirit lives on. Our spirit is the creative part of us. It is the creator part of us. It is that energy form that creates. Our spirit is the part of ourselves that will never die. It is the part of ourselves that is, was, and ever shall be. It is our source of energy. It is our energy. It is us. It is the part of us that will go on to live forever. So whether you believe in reincarnation or that your soul will go back to the heavens to be with God for eternity, it doesn't even really matter so much right now. It does matter, however, what we can do with this information. It is information that tells us about the true essence of who we are. Ever since ancient times, these beliefs have been part of humanity, that we shed off this human body and we go and move on to a different plane. The way that you perceive it really doesn't matter, but it matters to think about it here only because it's information that is useful here. It gives us insight as to what we can create and do for ourselves. There are two different energy parts of ourselves, which also break down to several parts. The two major parts is our soul and our spirit. The soul is the I, the part of our body that works within our ego and creates what our ego is trying to create, usually in a negative way, where the spirit is the energy force that actually creates what we want and need. They are both energy forms. The reason that the soul creates in a negative way is because it's creating what we are thinking about most. So when you're obsessing about something, when you're worried about something, you make it happen because it's in your mind, on your mind, so much that it becomes a self-fulfilled prophecy. The soul itself, of course, is not negative. It is, however, the carrier of information. We could utilize these parts of our body, these parts of our energy, because it is, in essence, our true self. In 1997, a teacher said something that was very interesting to me. He said that the problem with humans is that we think we are humans with a spirit when we are actually a spirit having a human experience. That is so true. We are spirits having a human experience, and our spirit is our creator self, the part of ourself that creates, that energy part of us that creates. And so if we utilize this information, we can have a more satisfying life. And I'm going to repeat it again. We are spirit having a human experience. How cool is that? When we pass away, our soul and spirit leaves our body. Without our soul and spirit, we are nothing. We're just a slab of meat, just like a light bulb with no electricity. And what is a light bulb without electricity? A light bulb without electricity is useless. So I can also say without our spirit, our body is useless. Just as electricity is the energy needed to produce the light, our spirit is the energy needed to produce our movement, our thoughts, and much, much more. And our spirit is the energy that we need to produce our life. That is much, much more. Our soul and spirit together gives us life. What is life? It is thought, speech, feelings, vision, the five senses, and I can go on. But it is also the part of us that creates. Our spirit creates. And so when we connect with our spirit, with that energy part of us, we create the things we want and need in our life. Our spirit is intelligence, movement, love, emotions. It is so much. It is also where our free will resides. It is our desire, our personality. I can go on and on. Everything that has life has spirit. Animals, vegetation, everything that is alive has spirit. Our spirit is our spark. It is the place where we create. I say that again and again because we need to know that and to understand that. As far as what happens after we die, we don't really need to fly to the moon right now when we're here having an experience that could be joyful. And so, does it really matter if there is life after death? Is that the question that should be asked? Or is the question, what makes us energy? What makes us move from one plane to the other? And how can we utilize it here? When we think about the energy part of ourselves, we think about the part of ourselves that is our spirit and the part of ourselves that is our soul. These parts of ourselves also have other energy forms, our aura, our chakras, and I can go on. But the two basic parts that hold all of the energy in our body are part of ourself that helps us to create healing and to create love and to create a joyful life, the life that we were meant to have. When we return, we're going to do our drawing for the winner of our giveaway. Stay tuned so you too can find out how you can win our next giveaway. We'll be back right after these messages.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addiction, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarollcounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
We're back, and you're listening to A Pure Component, linking spirit and science. Today's topic is what happens after we die, and we're talking a lot about energy and how energy relates to that topic. We talked about the 7 principles of energy, and we mainly wanted to speak of the 7th one, which is energy doesn't die. And then we talked about the different components and or energies of our bodies, which is our spirit and our soul, as well as our physical body. And our spirit and our soul does hold all of the other energy centers of our bodies. And also knowing that we are truly energy, and energy is something that doesn't die and can be converted to something else, lets us know that these parts of our bodies, these energy parts of our bodies, are parts of ourselves that we can utilize so that we can have a more satisfying life. We also discussed the different studies that were conducted to find out what happens after we die. The studies regarded near-death experiences and how they proved that there was something after death, because it happened in so many different societies all over the country, in different cultures, different countries, different languages. Yet they all had similarities that were overwhelming. We talked about how utilizing our spirit, the energy that is our true essence, could help us to have the life that we were meant to have. It's because of these energy portions of ourselves that we have existence, these being our soul and spirit. Our spirit being the part that sustains our life and creates,
and the soul being the part that is the messenger. We have several energy bodies, but they're all connected to our soul and spirit. In ancient Egypt, that was honored because they knew that people were going to continue to live on a different plane. In that ancient time, they were very prosperous people because they were connected here on earth, because they understood the importance of understanding their true essence, which was their spirit. And this is why death was not a bad thing, but a good thing. It was perceived to be something that was in high honors because they knew that they were going on to a different plane. In the ancient Egyptian language, there was a part of the body called the ka, which in English we call the etheric body, not to be confused with the etheric plane of the auric field. This part of the body also has different names: the astral body, the parallel body, the subtle body, the twin body, and also the vital body. Even the medical field has a name for it, and they call it the phantom body. This is because when we were born with a etheric body that was shaped exactly like our body. And when a limb is cut off on the physical field, it is not cut off on the etheric field. And so when there is a patient that is experiencing pain in that part of the body, even though that limb was cut off, the doctor will give them medication. Someone who was born with a missing limb would not have pain there because their etheric body also had that missing limb. This is the part of the body that is used purposely by humans to move themselves out of the body, as in astral travel. It gives humans the ability to astrally project themselves somewhere else. There is a skill set, and you would need to know how to do it, but it is something that there are many people who can achieve. This is the part of the body that is closest to us here. It is part of the soul, and it's the part of the body that people say they feel when they feel themselves float up on top of themselves in a near-death experience. This is the part of the body that people will perceive when they perceive someone who has passed away, as in channeling or a ghost. Except for the spirit, eventually all of these energy bodies fall off, just as the human body dies. It is said that each of these energy bodies takes thousands of years before they actually fall off. And thus goes the saying that life is nothing but a blink of the eye. To our spirit, it is what we perceive as humans as a moment in time. I remember my father used to say, life is nothing but a blink of the eye, and that's exactly what he meant by that. To our spirits, that's what we are, a blink of the eye. And to all of you out there, I hope that you use your spirit to create a life that is as abundant as your imagination can take you. And now for our giveaway. This was pulled out on the last show, but since it did not air, I'm going to repeat it again. The winner for the $95 value Eden Method session is Lauren Hogg. You'll get some details on how to claim your prize with Karen Adamo by email. Our next giveaway is for a shaman healing with Janet Straight Arrow. Here's how it works. Go to apurecomponent.com and find three questions about the show that she was on. The questions will be available on Saturday at 10 a.m. You'll find all the instructions on apurecomponent.com. Remember, you can enter as many times as you'd like. Answer the questions correctly and you'll be entered for our drawing, and you will be picked the next time on our live show regarding life after death. It doesn't harm anyone to believe that there's life after death. As a matter of fact, it could be so positive just knowing that our energies will go on forever. And on top of that, knowing that we have access to those energies here and now, and that access can bring us the lives that we truly deserve. Don't worry so much about flying to the moon. Worry about what you're doing right here on Earth. Thank you so much for listening to A Pure Component, linking spirit and science. I appreciate you. Join us next week at 10 a.m. for another great show.
to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial Advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heidi and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The U.S. death toll from the coronavirus has reached 11. 10 of those fatalities were registered in the Seattle, Washington area, one in California. President Trump last night was talking about the global death rate from the virus, which experts have pegged at 3.4%, but the president doesn't agree with that, saying a lot of people get the virus but never get counted.
A lot of people will have this, and it's very mild. They'll get better very rapidly. They don't even see a doctor. They don't even call a doctor. You never hear about those people, so you can't put them down in the category of the overall population.
He was speaking on Hannity on Fox News. Millions of people in Florida and Georgia could see severe thunderstorms today with damaging winds, hail, and isolated tornadoes. Heavy rain is already pouring on parts of Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama. And this is USA Radio News.
Hello, this is Wayne Allen Root, relentless conservative warrior, middle-class warrior, and always Trump warrior. I have a message for my fellow patriots across America. President Trump is making America great again. He's the only president of my lifetime who is keeping his promises, and his biggest promise is to build that wall. President Trump can only do it with our help. If Congress won't fund Trump's wall, we will. President Trump is one man against the world, and what globalists and socialists around the world want is clear, open borders. It's time to take a stand. We either build the wall, or it's the end of the greatest nation world history ever blessed by God. That's why I founded the Root for the Wall Pack. 63 million Trump voters together will raise the money President Trump needs for the wall. Anyone who donates $100 or more will get a beautiful commemorative wall brick. Display it proudly. Call 844-ROOT-WALL. That's toll free, 844-ROOT-WALL, or go to rootwall.com. We will build this wall together. Call 844-ROOT-WALL or go to rootwall.com. Root for the Wall Pack. Paid for and responsible for the content of this message. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. rootwall.com.
White House candidate Joe Biden talking to Bernie Sanders this morning, even though Sanders was not in the TV studio with him at the time. Biden saying nobody should be surprised by how well he, Biden, did on Super Tuesday, winning 10 of 14 states in the Democratic presidential primaries. He said he was able to outperform Bernie Sanders because of several things.
Bernie, you got beaten by overwhelming support I have in the African-American community, Bernie. You got beaten because of suburban women, Bernie. You got beaten because of middle-class, hardworking folks out there, Bernie. You've raised a lot more money than I have, Bernie.
He spoke on NBC's Today Show. A fuel pump issue is blamed for forcing a recall of a lot of Toyota and Lexus vehicles, about 1.8 million of them, recalled because people could face issues including a sudden stall caused by a non-functioning fuel pump. It covers vehicles in the 2013 through 2019 model years. And this is USA Radio News.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739. Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, Eddie Auto Pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Back to election 2020 news. Tulsi Gabbard's presidential bid getting another defeat as a federal judge tossed out the Hawaii congressman's lawsuit against Google. Gabbard had accused the tech giant last summer of violating her campaign's First Amendment rights after temporarily halting some of her political ads. The judge wrote that Gabbard failed to prove Google's decisions are in any way equivalent to a government regulation of an election. Twitter is testing a new kind of tweet. Fleets will let users share items to the social media site, and they'll then disappear after 24 hours. The idea is the temporary tweets will take off some of the pressure that people feel about sharing something that could spark a negative reaction. The feature is a lot like Snapchat Stories feature that rolled out in 2013 and comes after some high-profile people have found themselves in hot water after people dug up years-old tweets. And Daredevil Nick Wallenda has done it again. He successfully walked across a high wire over an active volcano in Nicaragua on live TV. The walk, 1,800 feet above the Masaya volcano, took him just over a half hour. The result of a slip would have been a fall into a lake of lava, some 2,000 degrees. Wallenda was equipped, though, with a safety harness attached to another wire above him. You can find us online at usaradio.com for USA Radio News. I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to...